Nitziv day. It is Tuesday, and we will learn some Nitziv. So let's start from the end of the Parsha. The famous ending of the Akedah, the anticlimax of Vayera. After the Akedah is completed, all of a sudden we have a listing of all the children born to Avram's family in Aram Naharaim, the Haran, the Nachar, the other parts of the family. Why is this included? So the technical answer to it is, because we need to know that there's a potential bride available for Yitzchak, Shidduch. So this family lineage will bleed naturally to Parshat Sarah, where Avram's final task is to find a Shidduch for Yitzchak. Okay, but it still breaks the drama. If you're looking to end, say for Parshas Vayera, I'll talk about Simcha Yisara on a high note, with a dramatic scene. There's no scene in Sefer Bereishis more dramatic than the Akedah. So end Parshas Vayera with Avram at Haram Moriah, holding the knife, being told not to murder his son, on the mountain, and it's also a nice bookend for Vayera. It begins with Gilo Shechina Vayera. It ends with Gilo Shechina Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. It's a perfect way to end, and all of a sudden you have this break where Avram finds out about all the people in his family that are born, and pretty much we don't care about Utz and Buz and Kimuel and Kesed and Chazo and Pildash and Yidlaf and Besuel. We just need to know about Rivka. And we can find out about Rivka in Parshas Chayisar. We don't need the genealogy. We don't need the entire Bar Mitzvah drasha as to who gave birth to whom. So some of Chazal say this was part of Avram's test, that he had one child, and he almost lost, or two children, but one child who was going to be part of the Zera, and he almost lost that child. So he's sitting there struggling, waiting 100 years, getting a child, almost losing it. He's looking over his shoulder, and he sees that that Nachor, his brother, not his brother, but his father's brother, Nachor, has plenty and plenty of children. Nachor Achi, his brother Nachor has plenty of children. That's part of Avram's Nisayon. But the Nitziv has a very creative idea. He basically says that until now, Avram wasn't thinking about his family. We don't see any mention of his family, except for Lot, who accompanies him. And now, in Parshas Vayera, as an intro to Parshas Chayisara, he will be much more involved in his family. He's going to travel to Aram Naharaim. He's going to interact with Lavan and Besuel, not him himself, but his Eved. So it's going to be more family time. There's going to be more family get-togethers now. Now, why is this in Parshas Vayera? Because at this point in the Akedah, Avram has reached the level. And the Sif has a whole thesis about the Akedah being Avram's final upgraded religious spiritual level. He just reaches the level he hadn't reached before. Beforehand, he had to leave his family because he couldn't be influenced by his family. So Hashem basically said, I want you to leave your family, and I don't want you to think about them or have any contact with them or any interaction with them, because it's going to distract you, because it's going to confuse you, because their ideas are foreign to you. But now you've reached the stage that you're so robust and you're so sturdy and your faith is so developed, and then maybe you can and maybe you should think about your family to try to be makar of them. And he is makar of them. If you just look at Lavan in Parshas Vayetze, he's a pretty religious person. He's a deceitful person. He's a dishonest person. But he's thinking about Hashem, Vayivrachin Hashem Biglalecha, and he has a dream about Hashem. He's one of the people in Bereishis in which Hashem comes to him in a dream. And even in this parsha, they give a bracha to Rivka. So somehow Avram is impacting his family. So then Nitziv says, at this point, this is almost a metaphor. Avram, now you should and can start thinking about your family. Until now, your identity and your development was too brittle to really be polluted or contaminated by that family of yours that worships idol back in Aram Naharaim. But now, after the Akedah, Vahi Acharit V'Marilah, now you can and you should. So something I want you all to think about now this year in yeshiva, or in life, because you always go through these questions, whether it's micro questions, what friends should I keep relationships with? And I don't mean you should cut relationships and be rude to people, but can you help your friends who are going through difficult passages? How much should you invest in those relationships? Or just in general? A lot of times people ask me, when I'm at college, when I'm in these intervening years, how much should I be involved in Kirov, and how much should I basically stay at home and just consolidate and solidify my own identity? And it's legitimate questions, because you're still very impressionable, like Avram was, according to the Nitziv, until this stage of the Akedah. So Hashem told him, while you're still impressionable, stay at home. Keep your mind to yourself. Don't be too involved with your family. Lech lecha miyartzecha, miladcha beisavicha. Now that it's post-Akedah, Hashem is secure enough in Avram's religious commitment that he says, I want you to be involved in your family. This family listing is that iconic or symbolic list. Okay. Let's turn to the beginning of the Akedah. Beginning of the Akedah, Hashem says, Lech Lecha. Right? So again, this is the bookends of Avram's life. According to Moses, we've shown him the 10 Nisyonos and then Vayera. So the first Nisayon is to leave his homeland. The last Nisayon is the Akedah, which of course makes Parshas Chayisara a very juicy Parsha for Beit Arrogance Wednesday night chug. So we'll have to wait until next week to talk about Parshas Chayisara. If it's post Nisayon, what is it doing there? What's the purpose of a post Nisayon Parsha? But be that as it may, why does Hashem tell Avram Lech Lecha here? In the beginning, Hashem told him Lech Lecha, and Rashi said, oh, Lecha, who remembers Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha? La Nasla. This is going to improve your life. This is going to lead to bracha. This is going to lead to a reputation. This is going to lead to... So Lech Lecha in Parshas Lech Lecha makes a lot of sense. But here, what is Avraham gaining through this process? He's going to sacrifice his son. So the answer could be, and Rashi doesn't say this, he's gaining emunah, he's gaining bitachon, he's gaining a deeper relationship with Hashem. Rashi doesn't say anything here. The Netziv says something fascinating. He says, Lech Lecha, keep it private. Don't tell anyone. This is a private journey. Don't announce anything to anyone. Don't tell your servants where you're going. And of course, he tells them, we're just going to pray and we'll come back. Of course, don't tell Sarah. And the Medrash is full of Avram, not deceiving Sarah, but withholding the information from Sarah. He basically told Sarah that Yitzchak's going for Shana Aleph in Yerushalayim. He's going to learn Torah, and this right is Hashem Be'Avram. And the truth is, Chazal said that after the Akedah, that's where he went. Yitzchak disappears from the scene a little bit to the end of Parshat Chayisara. Point to Chazal, after the Akedah, he went to learn some Torah, which is really fascinating. Because you think after the Akedah, Yitzchak had popped the champagne, he's a big tzaddik, winner's circle, he passed the Nisayon, he doesn't need yeshiva. Go back and sit and learn yeshiva. Even Yitzchak has to sit back. Whatever Torah they were studying, right, wasn't necessarily the Ketzelsum Dini Zachalim Shalafanah, but whatever they were studying, Yitzchak went to study. But either way, Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha, this is a private journey, don't tell anyone. That's why the Torah uses Lecha. Now this raises two very interesting elements. Number one, the Netziv doesn't speak about. Number two, the Netziv does speak about. Number one is this makes it much, much harder for Avram. When's the last time you did something that was really hard, morally or religiously, and no one knew about it? When people know about it, it makes it easier because you know that people will admire you, people will take notice of your behavior. So it's always easier to act morally and religiously when people are watching. It's much harder when no one knows about it. So I can imagine putting myself into Avram's shoes. If I knew that everyone knew that I was performing the Akedah, maybe I can get close to that, because after all, I'm going to be a world-renowned historical figure. People are going to know about it. What happens when no one will know what I'm doing? Well, that's the ultimate courage. Courage is the ability to take actions that are right when no one's watching, because you know it's right, because of the inner code. So it frames the Akedah as even more heroic. No one knows about this. Sarah doesn't know. Avram's friends and entourage don't know. Lech Lecha. Now, what the Netziv does say is, not just that it makes it more difficult, but it makes it more pure. Why? Because if Avram is looking and knows that people are watching, then he may do it for ulterior motives, not just his harder. He may be distracted. He'll have to deal with other people. So Avram has to keep this mission focused, concentrated, quiet. No one's to know. Sarah can't know. The servants can't know. The assistants can't know. Totally quiet. So it's an interesting initiative in the end of the Akedah, interesting initiative in the beginning of the Akedah. Now, one other quick Netziv. Throughout the Parsha, the Netziv highlights Avram's humanity. And I may give you a share about this later in the week. Rav Amital did a lot about this, right? The easiest way for Avram to kill Yitzchak would be to take the emotions out of it, become a mannequin, become a cold, senseless, unfeeling person, right? If you have to kill someone, not that I've ever killed someone, but I imagine that would be the easiest way. If I like you and I appreciate your humanity, I think about your parents and I think about your friends and I think about your future, it's going to be very hard to pull the deed. If I think of you as a piece of meat, I think of you as just a body, an amoeba, I just take the emotions out and I deaden my own senses, my own moral conscience, then I can just, like, killers do that. If you ever read Sartre, The Stranger, there's a little section about someone that kills someone in that way, becoming totally, totally deadened to any emotions. And the heroism of Avram is that he remained a father. He remained someone that loved his child. Although he had to submit his love for his child to Hashem's instructions, he still maintained his humanity. That's why the word Av and Beno appears close to 10 times in the Parsha. This is a father and a son. So Rav Amital, this is, I think, Rav Amital's basic Kiddush. A lot of people, and at some points in the Sif talks this way, Avram divested his humanity, submitted himself to Hashem, became an automaton, fulfilled Hashem's will. Well, he told us Hashem wants you to feel human feelings, they're legitimate. Of course, when push comes to shove, which it rarely does, if it contradicts Hashem's will, you follow Hashem's will. But 99.99999% of the time, Hashem's will and human instinct are the same. But the key at the moment is when they clash and you have to learn to submit. Maybe we'll talk about this later in the week. So the Netziv takes this route also. I'll just point out one element. If you read the whole Netziv, he's pointing at Avram's humanity, but Vayeshkim Avram Aboker wakes up early in the morning, puts on his donkey, takes his two children, and they're walking, and then he starts cutting the wood. He should be cutting the wood before he starts traveling, because he wants to put the wood on the donkey. Why is he taking his donkey, saddling his donkey, traveling, and then all of a sudden cutting the wood? So he says, because he didn't want to cut the wood in front of Sarah, because it would pain Sarah to see the wood. As far as Sarah is concerned, he's supposed to go in for his year in Yeshiva. Why are you cutting wood? Buy some Sfarim, buy some Chewies, buy some peanut butter. Why are you cutting wood for him? So again, this is Avram, who has the wherewithal not to become some crazed, hallucinatory fanatic and not care about my wife, and I don't care, we're doing a great mitzvah. But while he's performing the Akedah, he's a husband. As a husband, he has to protect the sensitivities of his wife. So there's enough wherewithal to say, let's start walking a little bit, carry heavy logs, and we'll stop in the middle, we'll cut the wood there. And then once he's out of earshot of Sarah and he starts to cut wood, Vayakom Vayelech, then he starts moving very quickly. He doesn't say Vayakom Vayelech when he leaves that homestead. Because again, Sarah would be suspicious. Why are you moving so quickly? He says goodbye to Sarah. He takes it very cool and calm, has a cup of coffee, sits with Sarah at the breakfast table, says, takes a few selfies with Yitzchak. They're going slowly. Once he reaches the forest, then he starts launching into his beast mode, as we'd say. Now he's in Akedah mode. He starts cutting the wood and he starts walking fast. So this is just one snapshot of Avram that the Netziv provides of a person who hasn't become this senseless, thoughtless, insensitive machine just looking to fulfill Hashem's will, but he's a husband, he's a father, and he's thinking about Sarah. There's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful medrash. I'm not going to have enough time to discuss all the medrash. It's such a beautiful medrash. At the Akedah, Yitzchak tells Avram and says, Avram, who's going to take care of you when you're old? Avram, who's going to take care of mommy when she's old? Like, Yitzchak has his neck taut, he's about to be killed, and all he can think about is his mother. He says, Avram, when you tell Ima that I've been killed, because he thinks he's going to be killed, just make sure she's not standing on the roof. Just make sure she doesn't have a knife in her hand. Just make sure she's not near a pit of water. Because if so, and according to Chazal, at least she did die suddenly through a heart attack. But it's an incredible thing to think about Yitzchak, who isn't on drugs, thinking about his 72 virgins in Shemayim. If he completes his deed, he's thinking about his mother and how Avram's going to break the news to his mother. Such a tender scene of a human being and human relations, even within this firestorm called divine will. That's really Rav Amital's thesis of the Akedah. The humanity Hashem put into your heart is Hashem put it there, and follow what your human instinct says. Because your human instinct is pure. And sometimes you have to make decisions in life based on the humanity. And 99% of the time, your human instinct and Hashem's will are reconcilable. You know that they make the same, they're synchronized. There are times in life when you can't make sense of the two. And at that point, you have to submit to Hashem's will, but not change your instinct, right? There's certain, you know what I'm referring to in this world. There are things we don't understand about Hashem. My human instinct tells me one thing, Hashem's will tells me another thing. I have to follow Hashem's will, but not give up my human instinct. Practice is only one solution. But instincts, Hashem gave me these instincts for a purpose. And I'm listening to Hashem, and I listen to my instincts just as much as when I listen to Halacha. In the end of the day, Halacha overrides instincts, and I have to follow what Hashem tells me. But the instincts Hashem gave me are pure and right, and listen to them. Don't deny them, though. And Avram's instincts, the Akedah, are very much alive and well. Okay? Have a good day, everyone.
Yeah. Shir will be 8:55. 8:55.